Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, and I am calling to you live this week from wonderful Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a great show lined up for you guys today. We have Rhonda Del Baccio, my dear friend and the story lady herself from ProfitableStorytelling.com, calling from the Ozarks today. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Well, hello there. It's nice to be back with everybody. I sure had a great time unplugging last week, though.
Oh, I'm dying to hear all about Sedona. How was it?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I know that we've had a few weeks talking about miracles, and if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to just share a couple of quick things about that before we go on into all the changes with Google and Facebook and all of that. Would that be okay?
Oh, that would be awesome.
I thought you wouldn't mind that. So we've had a series going pretty much of talking about the power of miracles and putting yourself into the miracle mindset. My entire week was about putting myself in that miracle mindset, and amazing things were happening. It was basically get up and go, where am I drawn to be today? And my friend and I were both in that flow a lot of the time. And so we went into the Tlaquepaque artisan area. And the first gallery we went to, there was an eagle statue out front, and his beak was pointing right to a parking place. So we went and parked. And we went in.
Oh, my goodness. Kind of like, I mean, just read the clues and do what they tell you. Wow.
Exactly. Just, it's called follow the signs. And so the eagle's beak pointed right to a parking place. My friend uses crutches or a wheelchair, so it was right by the door and everything. And so we go in, and this person, it's Rowe Gallery, R-O-W-E, in case anyone is going to Sedona and wants to see them. If you love animals, you've got to go there, because his metal sculptures, I mean, you can see the veins and the feathers on the bird. When he did,
I have
a
been
mountain
there.
Lion,
it's an awesome place,
isn't that amazing?
Isn't it? Yeah, it really
well,
is.
Yeah, and all his animals, they're so realistic. The fur on the cat, you could just see fur. It's not just like the shape of a cat, but you can see and feel fur. And they let people touch them, which was great, because I was looking, going, ooh, want to touch. And it was funny, because every time I had a question on my mind, the lady from the gallery walked up and answered it. And I was looking at this mountain lion going, I'd love to touch that. And she said, these ones you can touch because they're finished and they're metal and there's nothing you can do to hurt them. And I said, oh, good, because I've been just salivating, wanting to touch these animals and feel them with my hands, which do much better for me than my eyes anyway. So we got to do that. And then I went over to an area where there were some unfinished sculptures or works in progress, in other words. And I'm going, well, I'm not going to touch these, but they sure are interesting. And she goes, these ones you don't touch because they were in progress. Like, and I told her, I said, she said, do you have any questions? I said, no, because every time I have one, you walk up to me and answer it, so that I didn't even have to ask. And
that
I think
is
she
too
realized,
funny.
It was. I don't think she realized she was that intuitive until I said that. And the same thing happened with my friend. You know, my friend would have a comment or question or whatever, and she would walk up to her and say something to answer it or expound on whatever my friend was thinking about. It was just really beautiful. And it turned out, in Sedona, they have these traffic roundabouts, which I've never seen anywhere else quite like that one. And they're these little areas, and they are supposed to help the traffic. Well, They kind of do, except that they're a little confusing and some people get really impatient and honk their horns, and it puts off this kind of energy into a really powerful place. It turned out that they have had a project going to put sculptures in the center of each of these roundabouts, and guess who had two of the sculptures that were going to be installed Friday while I was there? Rowe Gallery.
Oh, how cool.
And he had an eagle sculpture that was about 12 and a half feet high and a sculpture of ravens that was about 13 feet high. And they were put in while we were there. We saw the machinery going in, and then the next morning we get up and there are the sculptures. And so we got to see the dedication ceremony, and it taught me a lot about how the arts work in Sedona, because I would love to teach a writing class out there. And based on what I learned from being at that dedication, I know who I need to align myself with now from that.
That is really awesome, Rhonda.
When we were there at the installation Friday, we're by the Ravens. That's where they did the dedication, was by the Raven sculpture. The mountain was spitting out ravens like they were watermelon seeds. I mean, there had to be like 21 ravens. Just boom, 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 boom. They came flying from the mountain toward the city. They flew over our heads and over the sculpture. It was like, whoa. I guess the Raven Nation's happy with their sculpture.
Oh, my goodness.
I've never seen the like. I mean, there are a lot of ravens around there, but I had we would see them like in threes and fours in the tree outside our hotel, and they would always talk to me when I came out in the morning. But I'd never seen that many. And I said, it's really like the mountain is spitting out watermelon seeds, but they're ravens.
Wow.
It was amazing. The other gallery we went into, this guy has had a, he's a Bear Cloud. It was Bear Cloud Gallery. And those are the only two galleries I went into. So Bear Cloud does this amazing paint that you would swear that it was dimensional. Some of
it is
paintings
really,
light,
really an interesting medium. I've been there as well.
Yeah, really, he's amazing. Well, he's had this vision about a particular pyramid, and I know that place. And I was like, oh, I didn't know anyone else knew that. So it's really interesting because it's kind of on the spirit plane more so than physical. So it was really interesting, and I gave him some information that he was looking for to help him interpret what he was seeing, and his artwork is amazing. I tried to get some pictures, but they don't really do them justice. So if you go there, just go to Bear Cloud Gallery. That was amazing. So we had this time where everyone else in the shop except my friend and I cleared out, and it gave us about 10 minutes to talk with Bear Cloud and share some things and insights and whatever. So that was really beautiful, and he is making an app for the iPad that has to do with his art and his visions and stuff, and he's trying to do the app all by himself. And I said, let me try to help you find someone. You do the artwork stuff, and I'll try to help you find someone who can take care of the app part so that you're not taken out of your strength so far. So so I'm on that mission for him, but that was just amazing. And the whole week was like that. I did some energy work in one place, and as I was finishing, there were some clouds, but a sunbeam pierced right through the clouds, right down onto me, and I have a picture of it.
Oh, how cool.
I mean, yeah, and it was just, everything was like that. It was such a moment of being in service of the moment and knowing that I was exactly where I needed to be. And it was just amazing. So lots of
When you were at Tlaquepaque, was there a musician playing in the center of the area in Tlaquepaque?
No, you know what? I was in there twice because we went back the next day, and I did not see him. I know who you're talking about, Robin Miller. And I guess we just weren't there when he was, or we weren't meant to hear him or whatever. I was looking forward to that, but never seemed to catch him. And the times when maybe he was there when I was elsewhere, but no, I didn't get to hear him. I tried.
Darn, I would have loved for you to have heard his music. For anybody else listening, go to Tlaquepaque, but go to robinmillermusic.com and find out when he's going to be there first.
Well, they say from 11 to 4 daily, But it just seemed like the times that I was there, and I was there during that time, and I was in the area, but he did not seem to be there at that moment. They're not real specific on exactly when, so.
I know. I saw it on his website, too.
Yeah.
I think the days that he's there more often than not are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Right. And we were there Thursday and Friday a little bit.
Wow.
Part of Friday. Well, we may have been a
little
early.
You're right. It wasn't meant for this visit then, clearly.
Apparently not, but yeah, because we went back. The thing is, we went back to the Row Gallery because one of the things we wanted to make sure they knew, we had been there Wednesday. We went back Thursday after the statues had been put up, and they weren't dedicated yet with the ceremony thing, but they were put up. And the difference in the traffic was amazing. There were a couple of people who would still honk, but it wasn't that where you go up to an intersection and hear 10 or 15 horns honking. And I told them, I said, it made such a difference in the energy and in the feeling of those areas where the statues were. It just really seemed to bring a little more calm to the area. And I had to make sure they knew that.
That's really awesome.
It really was. It was a huge difference. So... yeah, so that was beautiful, and I just wanted to have a chance to share some of that. When you get into the flow, amazing things happen, amazing encounters happen. It's just really beautiful.
It really is. Really, really is. And, you know, so many people are so busy in life that they don't pay attention to the signals that you are getting. So for our listeners, really notice the kinds of things that are going on around you. Slow up a little bit and pay attention a little bit more. And you really can experience life in a completely different way when you do.
Oh, but I forgot to tell you, we had a feather-shaped cloud that pointed over toward Bear Cloud Gallery.
Oh, how cool is that?
And I went, let's see where the tip of the feather is pointing, and we did. And it was like, you know, and they're really there. It's not that you have to take time out like for hours or you go to a mountain and whatever, but it's really just looking around, not just...
Which day did that cloud happen, Rhonda?
Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday.
I've got to ask Terry Talltree. Last week there was a day where I had come out, as I do every morning, came out a little bit earlier that morning. It was about 8:30. And when I got outside, there was absolutely not a cloud in the sky except for one. Directly over my house, there was a cloud in the shape of a feather. Now, as clouds go, clouds move constantly. They change shape constantly. So that cloud in the shape of the feather typically would last maybe 5 to 10 minutes, and then it would be off to a different place or its shape would have changed a little bit, et cetera. That day, it was so wild. That cloud did not move and did not change shape for nearly 3 hours. It was directly overhead, and what's really strange is it was pointing west, which is where Sedona would be from where I'm at.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was the same day. I'll have to ask Terry and see if she remembers what day that was.
Well, and you know, actually, and I've never shared this with anybody else, so this is a little personal, and you guys are all going to get this. I will often talk about reading my sky mail. And what I mean is I look up at the clouds, and I get all kinds of messages. And sometimes once I get the message, I acknowledge it, and thank you, I get it. The cloud changes shape immediately, and sometimes it'll just stay that way for a long time. But I get animal shapes. We got bird wings, feathers. I mean, really distinctive types of things that happen.
Wow.
And I often, if I ever say I'm reading my sky mail, it usually means I'm looking in the clouds looking for whatever messages people are picking there for me.
Well, I would not be at all surprised if it doesn't turn out that you and I both saw a feather cloud at the same moment in time.
Well,
that
could
be
really
cool.
We were up early, you know, we were 3 hours earlier than you, but it certainly may have been the same cloud.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, so just beautiful. Just really be in the flow. Take a moment to look around and take a breath and put your eyes up and around and away from what's in front of you every so often, because you really do get guidance and messages from everything. Everything from the way the wind blows to the shape of a cloud to where even if it's a statue and it's always pointing that way, you know, whatever, there could still be a message for you. It's just a matter of being open. And it was fun to be in the car with somebody who had that same sense of following. And, you know, sometimes one or the other of us would be the one that had the prompting to lead, and so we did.
Wow, that's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to talk about today, Rhonda?
Well, you know what? It's the first day of spring here, the first day of autumn, I guess, if you're down under. But a big time of changes, and just as the seasons are changing, there are a lot of things happening with Facebook and with Google and a lot of the tools that people use. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed a lot of panic over things that are being done. Like, oh my gosh, we'll never be able to blog again because Facebook changed this or Google changed that. So I thought it would be a good time to help our listeners catch up and regroup with the things that are happening and just see how you can continue moving forward with strength.
Very good idea. In fact, there were quite a few changes the last couple days of February, so we're a few weeks after the changes, both with Facebook as well as with Google. Let's start with Facebook, since that tends to be the shorter list.
Yeah, let's start with Facebook. So there's been a big uproar because Facebook is moving to this timeline instead of the way that it used to be. And, of course, every time Facebook makes a change, there's always some movement for, you know, bring it back the way it was. And I'm like, forget it, it's not going to happen. Just go with the flow instead of resisting it. But this big timeline change is affecting the way that fan pages work. And it was interesting to see. I got a video from the guys at doubleyourlikes.com because I have their product, and they're showing how they're adapting to the change so that people can still do something, do that reveal that seems like you wouldn't be able to do it anymore. So there are some changes in the timeline, and let's just start talking there, shall we?
That sounds like a good idea. So what the heck is a reveal, and what the heck is a timeline?
Right. So this timeline is the new way that Facebook is showing what's happening. So instead of, it is still kind of the wall, but it's put out as a timeline. It's a little bit of a different format from how it used to was not very long ago. And then that's the same now on the pages as it was on your personal page. So on your personal page, how you have the timeline, you'll see the same thing on pages. What a number of people had been doing, including myself, is that when you go to a page, sometimes there is a content that you see before the like, and then once somebody liked it, you could get a free whatever it was, whether it was coupons for oatmeal or whether it was a free mini class or a free ebook or whatever. So after the big reveal, after you hit like, you would be able to get whatever the gift would be and or the free something, and you could get the people onto your list who would do this. With the changes in timeline, it was appearing that that would no longer be possible. And there's been a big panic attack going around the internet of people who use that to build your list, going, oh no, how are we ever going to do this? It's being taken away from us. So that's what the, you know, the timeline is, and that's what the reveal is, and why you would want to have it.
Right. So there used to be software that you could use that would attach itself to the like button so that when someone would actually like your site, it added them to your autoresponder, so they're now a subscriber, and it would then reveal whatever was underneath this little graphic. Well, with the latest changes that Facebook has made, they are now allowing you to instead have a timeline that's a series of images that can be put onto a profile or onto a page, or a series of images that are actually created from changes going on a profile or a page automatically. In doing that, it means that you will no longer be able to use the image the way you used to be able to block the content underneath the image with the reveal. Instead, you're going to have this timeline with images across the top, just like you would on a profile. Now, more than likely, and these changes don't go into effect until the 30th of March, some of the timeline is now there, but they're not removing the reveal stuff until the 30th of March. More than likely, at the end of this month, you will no longer be able to do the reveal. They have changed the size of the images and actually made the images bigger, which is really a good thing. You can do more in a bigger image.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, the software will actually still function to attach itself to the like button, so you can still actively build a list of subscribers once someone likes your page. What you won't be able to do, though, is you won't be able to give them an ethical bribe to get them to like your page. One of the things that Facebook has made really, really clear is that they don't necessarily like the idea of businesses using Facebook for commercial purposes. They want Facebook to remain a social site. So they're really trying to set things up in a way that discourages businesses from using it for commercial purposes, and instead using it to build relationships. And that's why they've made this change with the timelines and getting rid of the reveal, et cetera. Probably the biggest change that Facebook has made is one that I have not heard very many people talking about at all, and that is what you can do in the images on your profile or on your page.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that you could put anything you wanted into an image. So you could put a little pretty graphic that then said something like, click the like button above to get a free video. Click the like button above and get taken to download this ebook for free. Click the like button above to get some free coupons for a free whatever. They are no longer going to allow you to have images that have a call to action with a commercial intent attached to it. So the whole timeline thing is going to have images in it. Those can be product images, but if they say, like this to download this now, it will be totally against the Facebook terms of service.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook will be using an automated tool, probably something like Google Goggles. So it's a tool that allows them to automate reading the content of an image. They will be able to sense whether or not there are words in the image, and if there are words, whether or not they are something like a call to action. And you better be really careful about trying to fudge their terms on this one, because they have already said that people who go against their terms, who try to put the call to action into their images, they're not only going to find their Facebook page deleted, they will also get banned from Facebook entirely. Both their profile will come down and their page will come down. Big consequences if you've got a lot of followers or a lot of friends. So it's not worth trying to cheat it and trying to find some creative way to do it anyway. Go with the rules, understand what it's about. It's really about Facebook wanting businesses to use Facebook to build relationships. And just go and use Facebook the way it's meant to be used. If you're not interested in building relationships, then you have no business using Facebook in the first place.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely does. So help people understand, well, if you can't put a call to action in an image, then what in the heck can you do so that you still can build the relationship without getting on the bad side of Facebook?
Well, how about putting a message that has a social intent or a relationship intent?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I stop by my Facebook page often. Leave me your biggest question and I'll answer it for you.
Right.
That you could actually do. It's a relationship builder. It's something that's really meant to use Facebook the way it was intended.
Right.
You just have to be a little bit more creative about how you're going to use it. And I would absolutely not tell someone that they should like the page in that image to get something else. If you like my page, I'll answer your question. If you don't like it, I won't. Don't do that, because, again, it's a call to action.
Yep.
But more than likely, if you're going to say, hey, I'll answer all your questions on my Facebook page, if you really take the time to come back and answer questions for people, they're going to like your page anyway, even though you didn't tell them to do it, because that's what people do on Facebook.
Right. Oh, yeah, and they do that often, yeah.
There's no reason why when you answer their question in the text, you could absolutely say, here's my answer, and oh, by the way, if you like this answer, let me know by liking my page. That you could absolutely do, and it would not at all violate Facebook's terms of service.
Right.
One thing I thought was about the conversation as opposed to being about the making money.
Right. Yeah, not making it about the like. The Double Your Likes guys in their video, they were saying that they did a test and they sent some Facebook ads traffic to the wall or the timeline of their page, and then they changed it up and sent some to a particular they can still do the reveal, but they're just doing it a little bit differently.
Right.
And they found that by sending it to the timeline, that just really was a waste. That they got a few likes but nothing much. And by sending it over to wherever there was something that was going to be revealed with the like, they did much better.
You have to be really careful about it, though.
Yeah, you do.
I have not seen that video. If you're telling them, the only thing that can show up there is a graphic. If you're telling them to like you in the graphic, you're really going to run into trouble with Facebook.
Yeah,
so
no, that's
they won't
that's not,
actually start banning stuff before the 30th of March, but I'll have to go watch the Double Your Likes video.
Mm-hmm.
Intuitively, that's how I would look at it, too. You just have to be a little
right.
bit creative in terms of how you word that image. And your images can be considerably bigger. They're almost double the size now. They're wider.
Right.
They're taller. So you really could do more in the image. You just have to be a little creative about how to do that.
Yeah, and you cannot put arrows in it or anything
no.
of that nature, like pointing to the like button. No, that's a no-no. So, you know, just be aware. And really think of how is what you're doing going to serve people. And I have
exactly.
not changed mine. I haven't changed my, you know, my page yet. I did have their old, I bought this a while back. But I'm really going to think through. I would like to have people, you know, asking questions that I can answer and different things like that, because I really like answering questions on Facebook. They're there permanently. Nobody has to go look through their email messages for it or whatever. So it's a really good place to put answers there. And if one person has the question, it's no doubt that many, many others have the same as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what's going on Facebook.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, the same day that Facebook made this announcement, Google made an announcement of their own. And they announced 40 different updates to the way that Google works, all in the same announcement. Rarely does Google make 40 changes all at one time. I mean, I cannot remember any time that they've made 40 changes at once, but they did the end of February. If you want to read those updates, you'll find them at askggg.com/Google updates. askggg.com/Google updates. There's a couple in particular that are noteworthy. Now, what's really interesting to me about these changes that Google has made is that if you really have been doing things the way that I teach you to do them, using the system that I teach, you probably found that the changes that were made at the end of February actually helped you and not hurt you. And it's because the system that I teach people to use is not one that's scammy or black catty. They're really based on good old-fashioned relationship marketing, the whole point of this radio show.
Right.
If you really help Google serve their searchers, if you really come from that place of service, it really does help your search engine rankings, get you more traffic, et cetera, all at the same time. And you don't have to do it in a way that could get you banned or could get you dinged by Google in some way. You really can do things in an open, ethical, honest way, just serving the searchers, and get really good results from doing it. So the two parts of the updates that I'd like us to touch on a little bit. One is called Google Venice. They have code names that they use periodically. One is called Google Venice. That one applies specifically to local businesses and their websites and their search engine rankings. The second really didn't have a code name, but it's one that's being felt big time in a lot of the internet marketing world. It's a very innocuous statement. If you go to that askggg.com/Google updates, scroll down towards the bottom. You're going to see one of the bullets says link evaluation. And it's just like four lines. It's not really long at all. And basically it says that Google has turned off a feature of its algorithm that has been in use for years. And it deals with how Google evaluates links. It makes it sound like it's not even a little bit of a big deal, like it's just a normal run-of-the-mill kind of thing. But man, oh man, does it have huge implications for most internet marketing websites. In the past, what Google would look at in terms of a link is it would look at the anchor text. Anchor text is what the part that's blue and underlined, the thing that's clickable. What does that say? It would then look at the content of the URL attached to that anchor text and look at what does that say. And those two were really what controlled how that piece of content would be indexed in the search engines. So let's say you've got a comment you're making on someone's blog. In the comment, you use the word tennis backhand. Tennis backhand is blue, underlined. It's attached to a link that's something like yourdomainname.com/category/tennis-backhand. What would Google index that link under? It would index that whole comment under tennis backhand. Well, what Google finally started realizing was that it was pretty easy to get Google to rank something just based on those two features. But what if the page that it actually took you to was a page about improving your golf swing? Well, it's not really helpful to the person wanting to know about tennis backhand to go to a page that's all about improving your golf swing, is it? So Google finally caught on that, you know, it's not enough to just look at the anchor text and look at the words in the link. They've got to be able to look at those two things and compare it to the content of the page it's linking to. And unless there's an alignment from all three, it will not automatically rank that piece of content that originated high. Well, what's been happening is there are a number of blog networks in the internet marketing world that were all built in a way that made it possible for you to do this exact thing. Tennis backhand in the anchor text, tennis backhand in the link, even though it took you to a page about improved golf swing. In fact, these blog networks did that so much that when this change happened and Google saw how many page contents were not consistent with the keywords in the content linking to it, it said, oh man, this is nothing but a big scam, essentially, and it de-indexed a lot of the blog network sites. And there are a number of sites, big networks of blogs, that have been delisted by Google because of this. And they're trying to change their software so that it can get relisted. They're going to change their URL as well to get relisted. But it's going to mean that unless they change how they're doing things, and really play by Google's rules, they might be able to change the domain name and run ahead of Google for a little while, but pretty soon Google's going to find it and delist that new URL too. So really make sure that you have three kinds of links. Internal links that go from page one to page two on your site, where the content it's linking to is consistent with the anchor text of the link on page one. External links, meaning it goes from your site to some other site. Again, make sure that the anchor text is consistent with the content on the page you're linking to. And then inbound links or backlinks, links from other sites coming into your site. And again, make sure that the anchor text for the link, the content of the URL of the link, and the page it's bringing someone to on your website are all consistent, all focused around that keyword. If you simply do it that way, which is how I have taught my students to do it for like 6 years, you will always end up on Google's good side, and you won't ever run into issues with getting delisted. Does that make sense, Rhonda?
Yeah, it does. So, you know, in other words, really, we say this all the time, like every week, when you go with the attitude and intention to serve your audience, you're not going to get on anybody's bad side.
You really won't. You really, really won't. And you'll get better results than ever before just because of it.
Right. So if you quit, get out of the mindset of trying to find a hack or a workaround or whatever. What this is saying is whenever you do a hack or a workaround, you're putting up a resistance and you're not serving people well. Because I know I get really irritated if I were to go looking for tennis backhand or whatever and I end up on Golf Swing. I'm going to like, well, that doesn't have anything to do with tennis. And I would be very annoyed, and so should anybody. So if you go and play by the rules in a way that serves people, you will actually get better results. You'll serve people better. You will provide high-quality information. Google is really cracking down on bad information, and it's a good thing. It's really a good thing.
It really is, and it really does drastically improve the quality of the search results, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does, and it's going to mean the people who find you are really should be happy because they're looking for you. And I'll tell you, you know, while I was gone on vacation, I had sales coming in every day from stuff I had done and making sure every link I put out is pointing to something relevant. And so I can even be gone and not actively doing anything during that week and still have things come in. And it's just because of that I'm serving people, using the terms and leading to resources that they want and making sure everything makes sense.
Absolutely. And so that brings us to the other change that Google has made, and that is called Google Venice.
Mm-hmm.
Google Venice is also another really good idea, I think, and another one that, again, very much comes from a place of serving the searcher. So in, I think it was October, Google made a couple of changes to how it ranks on websites for offline businesses, local businesses. A year, year and a half ago, local businesses would really struggle to get to the top of the search engine rankings. There were sponsored ads. They could pay to get to the top of any kind of keyword. And then there were organic listings. That really didn't serve the searchers very well. A few months ago, Google came out with something called Google Places. Maybe it was a year ago. Year ago in October, I think. Google Places was something that tied search together with maps. So now you have sponsored ads at the top. Below it, you have places. Usually there are 10 places pages. And each places page has a little pin in a map that shows up in the right-hand side. Below the places pages are all of the organic search results. Well, in order to get to the top of places, you have to have, number one, a street address for a specific geographical area. That's going to determine which search results you show up in. If you've got a business that's, say, on Long Island, New York, and you also serve customers in New Jersey, if your address is in Long Island, New York, you're only going to show up with your places page for Long Island, New York. Unless you have a presence in a city in New Jersey, you are not going to have your places page show up for New Jersey. Well, this was really something that caused a lot of grief for local business owners. The places pages on the search results actually do get the lion's share of the traffic. But unless they were willing to add additional locations to get into additional areas, they couldn't get into the places pages where their customers really were located. Well, Google started looking at how people were using search to find local businesses. And they found something that I have known for a long time, and that is people do not go to Google and type in plumber Tampa, Florida. If someone's in Tampa, Florida, they're going to go to Google and they're going to type in plumber. And they're going to expect that Google will be smart enough to show them search results for plumbers in Tampa, Florida. In part, if you look down the left-hand side of your Google search results, you're going to see that it tells you what city you're located in. It's doing that by looking at your IP address to determine what city you happen to be surfing from. And it can tell whether you're in Tampa, Florida, or New York, New York. And it will serve up appropriate results based on that IP address. Well, when Google started to recognize that over 75% of all searches are done for plumber, not plumber Tampa, Florida, they started realizing how little the way that Google's places and organic rankings work was really serving the searchers. So Google Venice, by design, is meant to help improve things for the searchers who are just putting in plumber, wanting plumber from Tampa, Florida. Does that make sense so far?
Right. Yeah, it does.
So it says, improvements to ranking for local search results. Launch codename Venice. This improvement improves the triggering of local universal results by relying more on the ranking of our main search results as a signal. Hard. Let me read that one more time.
Yeah,
this improvement improves the triggering of local universal results by relying more on the ranking of our main search results as a signal. So what the heck does that gobbledygook mean? Well, if you go to Google and log out of your Google account, and that's a critical part, log out of your Google account, then type in the keyword for the type of local business that you're looking for. You're still going to see sponsored ads at the top. It's a very, very pale pink background usually. There's usually two or three of them. Below that, you're going to see your places pages. These, again, are going to be businesses who have physical locations at or near your IP address. Below the places, you usually see more results near the city you're surfing in. And then below that, you see the organic search results. What used to happen was that the organic sites that would show up at the bottom of the search results on the first page were really sites that were national or international. So if I typed in plumber, I might see a site like Wikipedia or Roto-Rooter that's a national chain of plumbers. But I would be unlikely to actually see the plumbers in my local area in organic search.
Uh-huh.
Google is now trying to get smarter and trying to find a way for local businesses to show up in those search engine results for organic, even if they're not putting in plumber Tampa, Florida. Now, most of the time, the SEO companies out there doing business with local businesses, they're intentionally doing all of the optimization around plumber Tampa, Florida. They are intentionally not trying to rank for just plumber. Well, with Google making this change, they don't want the site optimized for plumber Tampa, Florida. They want the site optimized for plumber. They then want the site to use meta tags that identify the geographical area, but they don't want the content optimized around the keyword plus the geography. Well, right now, so few businesses anticipated that this change was coming that it is really a huge, huge opportunity for people. Companies do not yet realize that they should be optimizing for plumber. So rarely are you going to find very many websites other than those that are truly national optimized around plumber. If you are a local business, now is the time to get in and re-optimize your site. Include what's called a geo tag. In other words, in your meta tags, make your geography clear. And then re-optimize the site on just plumber instead of plumber Tampa, Florida. And you will find that it improves both the ranking of your places page and the ranking of your website in organic search results. It is a big opportunity for local marketing consultants right now because there are so few local businesses that really got it right the first time. Uh-huh. If you go and use a word tracker-based tool to look at the demand, how many people are looking for plumber Tampa, Florida, you're going to find that there is practically no demand for plumber Tampa, Florida. And it's because people aren't using Google that way. They're actually searching for just plumber and expecting Google to understand the Tampa, Florida on its own. So you want to be out there helping the local businesses to really understand this and to help them re-optimize their content around regular tags instead of tags that also have a geography attached to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So what people are, I'm just going to kind of restate it and unpack it just a bit, but it does make sense. So what you're saying is this is the Venice update is relevant to local search, people with a bricks and mortar, serviced or business or whatever. And it's designed to help make searching easier. And so rather than optimizing your blog or your site or using keywords that would say plumber Tampa, Florida, or pizza, Reed Spring, Missouri, or whatever, that they should just use the meta tags in their site to say where it is exactly that they have location. And then to optimize for plumber or pizza or whatever their main service or product or whatever is so that people will find them. And that's going to help in the organic search.
Precisely. And it really also means that more now than ever before, local businesses should be building their websites using WordPress, not using Flash, not using HTML. Why is using WordPress a big deal for local businesses? Well, the easiest way to get those meta tags into your website is to tag your RSS feed, then submit your RSS feed to Google. There are two links, askggg.com/geotag, G-E-O-T-A-G, and askggg.com/geofeed, G-E-O-E-D. The geotag link is Google's geotag rule, and the geofeed link explains how to geotag your RSS feed. What's awesome is the fact that you can actually use a couple of little tools to get a geotag into your RSS feed. Really easy, actually. It's not hard at all to do. So if you can actually get your RSS feed geotagged, then submit that out to Google. Now you really have a much easier time of getting your site to rank well for the areas that you do business in.
Right. I'm adding these links to our show notes, so if you were hearing typing, that is what I'm doing.
Awesome. Oh, the geotag link changed. Let me see if I can find where they moved it to. Let's see if I can find it. The geofeed one is still working. where it is, geotagging, what is it, and how to disable it or how to use it.
That's the one. Okay.
Okay. Let me go update that link for everybody. Oh, that's even more interesting. Google and Microsoft have actually developed a patent on a piece of software for geotagging. That's interesting. I didn't even know that.
Well, that's
very
interesting,
actually. Anyway, so it's definitely something that you really need to be aware of if you're a local business. Again, the same stuff that I teach with regard to blogging for online businesses, it 100% applies to offline businesses. You don't want to actually go out and put the geography into the anchor text or the keyword. You just want to make sure that it's geotagged and then go and do all the same stuff that I talk about doing for the keyword that's just generic without the city. And you will absolutely end up with really good search engine rankings as a result.
Right. So that's really nice because if you've had a blog up for a while, don't go, oh, my God, now I have to go back and change 6,000 links. No. All you do is you can keep your link structure as it was, but don't, moving forward, you don't have to put the city into the links. You're just going to geotag the feed and your site with the particular city where you have a physical address location. So
exactly.
That's going to make it easy for you moving forward. It's going to make the search experience great, and you don't have to then go and change every single link in your website. So that's a good thing, too.
Exactly. There are even WordPress plugins, but if you just go into WordPress plugins and do a search for geotag, there are even a couple of different plugins that you can use to geotag every piece of content on a WordPress blog in automated ways, so you don't ever have to worry about it. And what's
right. Nice
is you can geotag a couple of different things. You can geotag based on a zip code. So if you know that you only do business in certain zip codes, geotag with all of them. You can also geotag based on a longitude and latitude and tell it, okay, this is where this business is located, but it does business within this much of a radius in miles. So there's a couple of different ways to do it, both of which will make it more likely than not that the business will show up for those areas when people actually go and do their searches.
Right, and that's really great. A friend of mine just bought a little country store out in one of the little dinky towns, and this is really going to help her because people who would be vacationing in the area as well as the locals would then be able to find this place and come in there. So it's a really good thing.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So that, to me, is just really going to help because if you can set a radius, that means that people who might be in some of the nearby towns, not only the zip code where the place is located, but in several of the nearby towns, it was tagged for that and somebody was looking for a restaurant or a bar or whatever in the area, they would be able to find that.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind that every single piece of content on your website can have a geotag. So what the heck does that mean? Well, you can geotag both your images and the content of a blog post or page.
Mm-hmm.
I would geotag literally everything, your images, your text, your pages, your posts, your videos, everything. The more you can get the geotag into the file properties, the better off it will be in terms of search engine ranking. And I'll tell you, this is such a novel thing. There are so few people who really are doing this right that for local businesses, it could literally mean you go from page 1,000 of the search results to page 1. That's how little competition there is for this right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's amazing. And so this is the thing, too, is that when you get in early and you start to put your presence out there, it's actually going to end up that you'll be able to stay up top easier even when other people come in after you, because there are so few doing it right. And because as you go on, as you're blogging, you're adding more and more useful content. And so with my friend in the country store, I'm telling her, look, I have some videos and pictures that were taken when it was under the previous owners, and even being able to incorporate those things will help have some content that she can have on her site early on and do the geotagging and everything. And this way people can see and feel what the place is like. And then all of those images and everything can be geotagged, and that's going to help her in the search. And even if there was another restaurant that opened up down the street that was similar, if they're not doing this, they won't rank nearly as well.
Exactly. Yep. And, you know, that's what it's really all about.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 days ago or so, I had done a survey of my subscribers. Renee and I from the Shortcut Group were trying to figure out what kind of done-for-you services did people really want, what were people really needing help with in their business, et cetera. And we asked about 10 different questions. If you go to askggg.com/TSG for the Shortcut Group, TSG survey, askggg.com/TSG survey. We'd really love to get some more responses. One of the things that we really noticed from the responses that we've had so far is that people are actually not struggling too much with getting traffic to their website. A few years ago, that wasn't the case. But a lot of people are really getting smart, and they really are figuring out traffic. The thing that almost every single respondent has said, though, is that while they're getting traffic, they are not getting conversions, and therefore they are not making money.
Uh-huh.
Well, this whole idea of serving the searcher, of doing things that are consistent with what Google really wants from a website owner, it's really tied to both traffic and conversion. When people are getting traffic and the conversion isn't happening, it's always a couple of different things that is going on. Number one, they're not reaching the right people. If they were, they'd be seeing conversions. Number two, they may not be giving the searcher or the people visiting what they want. It's always one of those two things.
Okay.
If you're really doing things in a way that serves the searcher, you're really going to do things that will cause you to target the right audience and at the same time give them what they want as opposed to what you as an expert think they need. And both result in both more traffic and better conversions at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So if you're seeing that you're getting traffic and it's just not converting, really think about the discussion today. What are you doing to drive that traffic? Who is the audience that you're attracting? And what can you do to improve the targeting and give people what they want as opposed to what you think they need? In the end, you'll always stay on Google's good side. You'll always end up with better search engine rankings, more traffic. But in the end, if you don't get the conversions to happen, it really doesn't help no matter how much traffic you've got. So the biggest thing with serving the searchers well is that it does cause better engagement, which leads directly to better conversions.
Uh-huh.
And we are out of time, Miss Rhonda. Do we miss anything today?
Oh, I think that covers the main things, and I'm glad we could do this and help people understand. I've got those links in the show notes, and next week it's Robert Plank.
Oh, that's awesome. I will look forward to that.
Yep.
Rhonda and I will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Hope you can join us. Thanks, Rhonda. Have a great week.
You too.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.